The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Deuteronomy 5:1-22. And Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourners who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. The word of the Lord.
As you know, our sermon series this month has been on the children's stories of the Bible. And this morning, the story I'm going to be telling you is the one about the Ten Commandments. And so, the children's story goes kind of like this. Moses was finally in the desert. No more slavery. The Israelites were on their way to the Promised Land, and Moses went up Mount Sinai to speak to God. God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone for Moses and told him to instruct the Israelites to obey the rules. These rules were the golden rules of the Jewish people that everybody had to follow and were absolute. And God seemed, in this children's story, to like enforcing these rules. These are the rules that we were told as kids. They were used to get us to learn obedience and to go forwards as children, listening and doing. And so these are the rules that God gave to the Israelites. The first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. The second one is, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. The third, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The fourth, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. The fifth is, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. The sixth, you shall not murder. Next, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is what God gave to Moses on the tablets. It seems that God liked giving anti-commandments, telling us not to do things, on every aspect of what we usually do. Don't lie. Don't envy. Don't talk against your neighbor, and don't take things or talk back to your parents, respect them. Rules that tell us to stop being like everybody else. When the Israelites made it out into the desert, it was God's prerogative to make sure that the Israelites were to be a people that would be set apart and holy to him. A Jewish rabbi once told me, that the reason that the Israelites were wandering around in the desert for 40 years was so that God could form them into his people. God needed to turn them into a unified and holy Jewish people and not a bunch of separate clans and tribes as it used to be. The desert experience had a purpose, and so did these Ten Commandments. They not only explain God's will and desire for holiness, but also he used it to bring them together under one rule, one God, the leader of the Jewish people. The children's story leaves us with a bit of a dilemma. As kids, we often heard the Ten Commandments recited to us as a means of telling us what to do at an early stage. They were used to get us to listen and obey God's word, very important. There was a very big emphasis on doing good things right. The problem with only stressing that specific aspect of the Ten Commandments is that we can become calloused and non-receptive towards their words and can sometimes build up a rebellious attitude towards any of God's commandments. We don't like being told what to do. The story when I was a kid focused so much on the actions of what God was saying. Do this and don't do that, otherwise you'll suffer punishment. That this story became a bit of a problem for me. It scared me, because I thought that as soon as I walked away from this specific law, God was waiting with a stick, and he was going to come and get me and punish me for what I was doing. It is true that this story here has God's warning about breaking the rules. That's very true. He seems quite angry about the Israelites' sin, and the idea of punishing them is kind of in the foreground of this story. There are many other places in the Bible, however, where it is specifically talking about the way in which we are to act. And this story, the reason why we shouldn't use it for telling kids that God is going to punish them, you have to follow these rules, is because Jesus Christ changed this story forever when he came and died on the cross. We are no longer bound by sin. The story is about being set apart and holy to God. We know from the New Testament that God wants us to have faith rather than thinking our actions are going to get us into heaven. This story is about seeing what God favors in our way of life, our way of thinking, and our conduct with other people. This is to change our lives, not force us into a tiny little box and where the corners are the area where we can't pass out without trouble. It has nothing to do with that. John Brown, a 19th century theologian, once said, "Holiness does not consist in mystic speculations, enthusiastic fervors, or uncommanded austerities. It consists in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills." Our holiness is priority number one, not our ability to stick to written rules. Moses went up the mountain and was given the Ten Commandments by God. These were to be the staples by which they lived. This was the standard by which they would be called Jewish later on, the people of God and the chosen ones. When God called Moses up to Mount Sinai, he asked Moses to follow specific protocols in doing so. "Go down and warn the people, so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy." The Lord replied, "Go down and bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord." This mountaintop on Mount Sinai was reserved for Moses and God. So was this another restrictive rule set down by God just because? Or did he have a purpose behind it? And as God usually does, he has numerous reasons for doing everything he does in the Bible. In this case, not allowing the people up to the mountain was very overt. The people would remember the point where Moses went up and they could not follow him. In fact, they would find that it was impossible to forget that God gave the commandments to him on Mount Sinai. God made sure that the people remembered this event. He also did something very special by signifying the difference in status between humanity and God. Keeping them separate, he showed them the power, the difference between us, keeping us from humanizing a perfect God. In fact, they were about to catch the first glimpse of being set apart for holiness. In chapter 19, verse 22, God tells the priests that they must be consecrated to God. In other words, to clean themselves and devote themselves in prayer, in fasting, and wait on God. Wait for God during this entire endeavor. The priests set themselves apart to God. God kept the people from this mountain, keeping apart the immortal from the mortal, displaying his power and giving the Israelites a reason to devote themselves to him. God also gave Moses the tablets on the mountain, written by God's very own hand, and this made a very decisive split in the holiness of God and his people. The law that they should receive came straight from the mouth of God, written by his own hand, pure and godly. God consecrated and set apart every aspect of this event. The whole story is not about doing good things or performing spiritual acts perfectly at all. It gives us ideas of these things, a guide to holiness, but it mainly shows us that we are to separate ourselves unto God. We so often take the easiest road in our faith, that of incessant works righteousness or legalism. We stress so much the act of doing the law rather than focusing on the heart behind the person doing it, the heart of what the law is supposed to accomplish. We're like hollow bodies who just know how to say the right things and do the right things, that we can miss out on the internal importance of what those acts are supposed to accomplish. President Franklin D. Roosevelt got tired of smiling his big smile and saying the usual things he did at the big political meetings. So one evening, he decided to find out whether or not anybody was paying attention to what he was saying. As each person came up to him with an extended hand, he flashed that big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." People would just automatically respond with, "Oh, how lovely. Just continue with your great work." Nobody was listening to what he was saying except for one foreign diplomat. And when the president responded, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," they simply looked at him and said, "Well, if you did, then I'm sure she had it coming." This former president was getting tired of the empty hollowness that plagued the political diplomats, so much so that he took drastic measures to get their attention. Imagine how God feels when we only respond to him in a hollow way, when we're only going through the motions and saying the nice things that are required or saying the right things. It is lucky that just before this story, God explained about his patience and his grace in the story of the Exodus. Otherwise, we'd have a real depressing time talking about our unholy lives or how hollow that must be to God. But he has patience unlike anyone else, and his grace is always with us when we trust in him. The Ten Commandments story finishes where grace left off. Now that we know grace is ours, we are to set ourselves apart to him. Not because we would be punished otherwise, which is sometimes the reason we do things. We think that maybe if I set myself apart, I can do these holy things and I can avoid punishment. But that isn't the best motive. Our motive to set ourselves apart to God should be because he asks us to do so from a pure heart. Our hearts should be driving our motives, not our fear. A rather pompous-looking man who worked in the church was endeavoring to impress upon a class of boys the importance of living a Christian life. So he asked them, "Why do people call me a Christian?" And after a while, one little boy responded, "Maybe it's because they don't know you." Our actions can be so wrongly applied to legalism that we can forget to act like Christians. We miss the entire part of this story, that we are to be godly-minded, pulling ourselves towards God, not just by following rules, but by wanting to live like him. The story reveals so much about Jesus. The story here is not about legalism. It isn't about following a set of rules to get to heaven. It is showing us what the results of salvation and faith accomplish in us. Jesus brought the same message. We are no longer slaves to the law. Grace and faith saves us, not doing good things in the Bible. This law was originally given to cleanse and purify, to bring to the point of finding one sin inside, to know what sin truly was. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he changed our relationship with the law forever. We follow his example, setting ourselves aside for God, allowing him to transform us rather than letting rules transform us. When Jesus transforms us, it happens from the inside out. When rules transforms us, we just learn how to be outward Christians. Moses received these Ten Commandments on the top of the mountain. God gave strict orders about breaching these laws. The Israelites would be punished. In the formative years of the Israelite identity, coming out of a pagan nation with pagan ideals mixed in with their Abrahamic teachings, and in dire need of understanding what sin truly was, the law that God established in the books following Exodus had the sole purpose of showing us our inability to do what God requires. God's holiness is so great that we can't even attain it trying to listen to 613 laws. It just can't happen. We need God in order to do what he says in the Bible. Our faith is the most important part of establishing the law. Like President Roosevelt, we are to be tired with the hollowness of legalism. Our faith is so important in our walk with God. The Ten Commandments are not about following rules. Chances are everyone here today has broken many of these Ten Commandments, and that's only 10 out of 613. It's very difficult to do. This story can only point to one thing: God showing us the need to be separate to Him, changing our hearts rather than our actions. So after all this, does it mean that I can do whatever I want, sin and not worry, knowing that God will be gracious and love me anyways? Paul asked this in his epistle to the Romans. Can I keep on sinning because I have freedom in Christ from legalism? Absolutely not. The point of the law is to point out where our shortcomings are, where we tend to sin. We need to know what sin is in order to avoid it. Once we find this out, we are on our way to change. Because the grace we have in Christ does not give us a passport to freedom of action. We need to express our faith outwardly. These Ten Commandments are what result from faith and trust in God. Our actions are important once we truly accept Christ and trust in Him. The key to balancing this freedom and need to abide by God's law comes when we realize that doing good things and following the law, just to say that we do them both, is a problem. We must apply our hearts to the situation, not just our actions. When we love and trust God and want to live like Him, we will slowly gain a desire to act like Him, and our lives will begin to change by His power. The good actions and ability to follow the law without bondage comes from the true faith in the heart. This story culminates with Moses bringing the law to the people. God finally began His intimate contact with His chosen people. Grace and consecrating ourselves and our hearts and lives to Him were the true meaning behind this story. If we want to follow these Ten Commandments, we must first turn ourselves to God, consecrating ourselves like the priest before the mountain. Only in true hearts of belief can we ever begin to start understanding the Ten Commandments and following them from the inside out. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, it is so easy for us to look at this story of the Ten Commandments and just do what You say and not allow our hearts to embrace Your message. I ask that we would drop our bonds of legalism and turn to faith, that we would be changed from the inside to be truly disciples of You, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.